Well, good evening, and let's go to 1 John. We have not been there for several weeks, and we haven't finished this letter. This letter to most likely churches in Asia that has as its emphasis that you may have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and with the brethren, and that your joy may be full. That has probably been one of the more powerful things that I have learned from this study, is that I, as a man and a child of God, can live with true joy in life. And that I really have no other excuse, no excuse but to walk in the trueness, the beauty of God's faithfulness. Oh, I don't always. But I know that that's there. And I know that I can keep reaching that and keep striving after that. And that's encouraged me. We're in chapter 4. We're talking about love. And love is that marks a believer. A true believer is one that will love people. Love the brethren. And we have worked our way down to the end of the chapter. I'm going to begin in verse 11, though, to give us our context. So let's follow along as I begin reading in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. We've talked a lot about love. And there's great reason. Because this is something Jesus emphasized in his ministry. You see, you reference here to a commandment that we have from him. Just keep your finger here and go to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, we'll hear from Jesus in response to a question he was asked. In Matthew chapter 22, we had a lawyer ask Jesus, which is the greatest, or which is the great commandment in the law? And we're looking at verse 36. And Jesus' answer to him is this, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I'm grateful for that. Those words of Jesus. It is a wonderful summary, encapsulating all of God's commands into those two things, those two instructions. Loving God, loving others. John chapter 13. Let's go over to John chapter 13. These are key passages for us as believers to keep in mind. These are references that we ought to know. Because if you ever need to be really reminded the clear instructions of God, that's a great summary. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 also give us Jesus' words here. And again, this is to his disciples the night before he went to the cross. The very night he was betrayed, he is seeking to comfort them, and he gives them this instruction in verse 34. So John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Notice the repetition there. Did you hear it? Love one another. Love one another. Love one to another. So 1 John speaks of fellowship with the brethren. And how can you fellowship if you do not love? And in the context of what we're looking at, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so we have the picture of God's love as the impetus for us to be loving others. So tonight I'd like to begin in picking up in verse 19, where we read these profound words. We love him because he first loved us. This is talking about a true, authentic love. And John wants us to understand that any love that is within us is not something we have manufactured. Not something that has just, we've drummed up the strength and the ability to be able to say, to do, to have this action and commitment of loving people. You know, this brings back to my mind what it says in Romans chapter 3, where it says there is none righteous. No, not one. You know, none of us have the bragging rights of having the corner on, I loved before God loved. You see, as we think about an authentic love is originated in God, isn't it? I mean, if we're really going to be serious about understanding love, then we're going to have to come from the perspective that the Bible gives us, and that it gives us Jesus. God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and it lays that out for us as love. This is love. If you want to hear the scriptures say it, you can see it in verse 10 of this chapter. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. In fact, let's make it personal here. Herein is love, not that I love God, but that he loved me. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for my sins. An authentic love is is something God thought of and God has designed. We understand love because of the way God has loved us. We as believers are to be a humble people. Because truly, if we examine our lives, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, we have nothing to boast. It's not about our works, is it? It's about God's. It's about God's love. And in this context of how love is the mark of a true believer, it comes back again to how God has loved us. Wow. So any love within me is a mark of God in me, and me in God. That dwelling, that two-way abiding relationship. Well, an authentic love is originated in God, and an authentic love is defined in deed and in truth. When you look at this verse 20, it reminded me of chapter 1. If you were with us when we began this study, we looked at a series of statements in chapter 1 of this letter, and we're going to look at them, where we have if statements. So if you look at chapter 1 and you have this verse 6, if we say, remember this, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So this is the negative. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, so the verse 6 was some words. Verse 7 is action, walking. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, we go back to just words. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, it's back to action again. If we confess, I'm in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In verse 10, we go back to just words. If we say that we have not sinned and we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And then we go to chapter 4 where we are in verse 20. If a man say words, if a man say I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. John is very clear on helping us understand that authentic Christianity is not based on what comes out of your mouth and your words. And what you say about yourself. But as your deeds. The way you live. All of us understand the desire to appear good, right? We want to appear good. We want to appear like we have it all together. I'm right there with you. That's what I was dealing with as I came into church tonight. Because the busyness of getting my family together to come in, things not going the way I wanted it to go. But yet I need to stand in front of people and preach, so I have to appear like it's okay and things are, I've got it together. I don't. We are tempted with this on a regular basis because we live in a temporal, physical realm where we can touch and feel and we can hear and we can see one another. And so, I want to appear. I want to appear like I'm doing okay. I've got it together. I've got my family in order. I'm ready to preach. I want to appear like this, right? Well, really what it is it's the what matters is not what we may say about ourselves, but what we do with what we know to be true about ourselves. I mean, if you go back to the chapter 1 that we looked at, and if we know that we are to be walking in the light, that God is light, then we are going to choose to walk in that light. If God is light and I'm desiring to have a relationship with God, then I'm going to choose to walk in that light. If I realize that I've sinned, then the action of a true believer is going to be, God, I've sinned. I've sinned. This, in back to chapter 4, verse 20, the draw of appearing righteous when one's heart is not is one of the things I believe John is confronting, one of the things that this church was dealing with. And frankly, I think it is a plague that plagues the churches of America today. When I say churches, I say churches in general. And this is just a warning for us all. Because so many of us have grown up in the faith, and so we know the right things to say, don't we? Sure we do. And we know what is expected of us when we walk through those doors. So we put on our game face. But what truly defines us, and let us not be fooled, what truly defines us is our actions. Our actions really do speak louder than words. You realize that our words, they can be carefully crafted, but they demand only a breath. Actions, they reveal the truth. Why? Because they demand the commitment of energy. They demand an investment of our lives. Our words, just a matter of blowing a little bit of air through those vocal cords and just forming. Thinking in our mind what we want to, the way we want to appear, and just letting the air flow. Actions, you're committing. There's a commitment there. So, John doesn't pull any punches. I mean, if a man say, I love God, says this, I love God, and the action is I'm hating my brother. And when you think of this brother aspect, you really could go two ways, but I don't think it really matters for the sake of his instruction. It could be a brother in Christ, or it could be your physical brother. I tend to think a brother in Christ fits the context better. And so we have to ask the question, well, am I saying I love God, but I am detesting one of my brothers or sisters in Christ? In the church. Let's start right here, right in the fellowship. All right, so we're going to walk around saying these things, but we have this attitude towards someone else. What's happening is you are revealing your own ignorance, and you are showing a deception. You're deceived. You are deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself to the point that you're thinking that I can just speak my way through Christianity and I'll be all right. If I could just say the right things, I've mastered Christianity. Well, we know that this is a farce. It's a lie. So I was studying this, and one of the commentators I looked at brought my attention to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, at the end of the chapter, there is the judgment of the sheep and the goats. And you might think this is kind of a weird place to insert this, but what this passage is showing us is really God and his view of things in regards to people. And this helps us as we flow into the next portion of our context, where it talks about he that loves not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? In this sheep and goats judgment, we'll just pick it up in verse 35. Well, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I believe this is happening right prior to the millennial kingdom. And some are invited into the kingdom and some are not. And so verse 35, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came into me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hunger and feed you, and thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, and naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. These actions here. And then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you didn't give me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you in hunger, hungry or thirsty or stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto you? And then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away in everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So 1 John 4, if a man say, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. So authentic love is originated in God, and it is defined by your deeds and your and in truth. This authentic love we see continued here. For he that loves not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You see, our brothers, we interact with one another. We see one another. And if you are a true believer, you are one who has been loved by God. And one who has been loved by God, and they know they have been loved by God, are ones who are compelled to love others. The interesting thing is we have never seen God. Have we? The context tells us that no man hath seen God at any time, verse 12. Okay, so he's already made that clear. So if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. So what about the converse? If we are not loving one another, so then the question is, is God dwelling in us? Now, as we go through this, keep in mind that this is talking about a life that's characterized by these things. Will we have times when we are not loving? Sure we will. But does that characterize your life? For example, you may have a disagreement or a situation with a brother in Christ where you are not loving to them. And you may walk away from that conversation and in your heart you experience the conviction of God. And so the next time you see that individual, you go to them and you seek forgiveness for that sin. This, it remains a beautiful testimony of the love of God. Yes, you weren't loving, but you are responding to the very Spirit. But if your life is characterized by broken relationship after broken relationship after broken relationship, where you are afraid to talk to person A or person B, and you continue to ostracize yourself or others, this ought not to be. This does not characterize a true believer. So, you know, what God is doing through this is, if there is a situation in your life, I believe what God is doing is he's bringing it to mind. So pay attention. I mean, this is one of the things as believers, we trust and believe that God's word is true and living. So as we hear it preached, as we read it, as we are exposed to it, pay attention to the things that God brings to the forefront. There may be a relationship in your life that needs to be dealt with, where you have not been loving. Yeah. We can say that we love God. We've never even seen God. But here we have one another, and we're not loving. Inconsistency. An authentic love is consistent. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. Yes, this needs to characterize our church. As your pastor, I have delighted in seeing this take place. I pray for this to continue to be true in our fellowship. But I don't see everything. God does. I'm glad I don't see everything. I'm glad I don't know everything. Just because I may know things, whoopee-doo. What really matters is what God knows. But the commandment is clear. He who loves God loves his brother also. Authentic love, authentic Christianity. We understand that this love is originated in God. It's God's plan, God's idea, God initiated. You can't look at it any other way. Authentic love is defined in action. Keep that in mind. We will be tempted, as even I was tonight. We will be tempted to put on a certain facade. We have to understand that sin cannot be hidden from God. And let's view our lives as God does. Let's put to practice 1 John 1:9, confessing our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive. A realness, an authentic Christianity is consistent. It's a loving God, and it's a loving of others. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you so much, Lord, for your Spirit in guiding us into truth. And Lord, there's a profound message for us all. And Lord, so this is so familiar to us that sometimes, Lord, I think we miss it. Thank you for this reminder. And Lord, that we may be authentic, understanding the realities that are true about you and true about us. God, you know every heart that's here tonight. You know my heart. And God, I pray that your word would bring about a greater peace and love in the brotherhood. Lord, that you would guide us in restoring relationships to a right standing, if there be any in our lives. And God, may we be serious about our sin, both against you and against our brothers and sisters. I so enjoy being together with these dear ones. I thank you for their love that they have shown to me and to my family. I thank you, God, for that example. And now I pray strength for your people as they go from this place, as they encounter the week to come, the people and conversations. God, that you would grant them words and strength. And God, that you would move in the hearts of the unsaved that we meet, that, Lord, we may hear of some that have come to faith. In Jesus' name, amen.